Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. So feel free to get online as usual and customary, and we'll try to help you out with your tech issue. And there's so many tech issues. You know, the Every OS Sucks song just kind of has actually come true.
Yeah.
You know, your TV could take a week to mute it these days. So we'll help you out if we can. Feel free to get online. Of course, and coming up at 10 o'clock, we have Tatiana Jordan is going to join us from BARC. That's the company and the group out there that's trying to keep our kids a little more safe from the nasty stuff that's on the internet. And she'll talk a little bit about what they think states should be passing laws to prevent access to porn sites, right, for children. And, you know, Florida's trying, but of course, you go ahead and put that law through, and all the people did was just use VPNs and say they're somewhere else.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really has to come down to the site and or the device. And we'll see where Tatiana's feelings are. So we'll talk to her at 10 o'clock. But as usual and customary, Dennis, you have any tech news we can use?
Yeah. Well, first I'd like to follow up on a story we touched on earlier a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
There was a news article on BBC News that Apple's AI flagged with a substitute headline that turned out not to be true.
Yeah, he made it up out of a whole cloth, right?
Right. This little blurb that the AI inserted into the Apple News. And, of course, you know, the folks at BBC were upset.
Yes.
As they should be.
Rightly so.
And it turns out that this is a little bit more common than everybody thought. I mean, this is the first time that anybody, you know, perked up and noticed.
Right.
But this AI, it wasn't always being truthful.
Right. Didn't have a lot of eye.
Right. Now, didn't have any eye. At any rate, you know, after a suitable period of reflection.
Yes.
And face saving, Apple decided, we're going to stop that.
Just turned it off.
So they're disabling that little quote unquote feature.
Yeah, I mean it seems silly to me that you'd need AI to restate a headline anyways.
Well, yeah, I mean every article already has a headline.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about a web based article, there's a title tag in it.
Right.
Why not just carry that?
Yeah.
And you know, just spit it out along with the URL, which is what you're providing.
Yeah.
Why are you inserting your own words into it? It's not even sensible.
No. And then of course you have to think, if they can't do that right, then what are the summaries doing? Because if they can't summarize an actual headline that's actually truthful, what are they summarizing in that story? Oh my goodness. So Apple AI has got a little bit of work to do. There's the other issue, too. If you have an Apple phone and you're wondering why your battery is being drained to 40%, you turn off the AI. That's what's doing it. If you're curious, that's what's happening.
Right.
You're not holding it wrong this time. So in other news, this is kind of in the line of one of the reasons Tatiana's coming on board. But there's a story in the Register. Brits must prove their age on adult sites by July. So it's the year 2025,
right?
And we are just now. I know we've built the internet on porn, but I guess we realized that maybe it's done and complete. And so they are just now preventing kids under 18 from accessing it, because it's been so easy for the past two decades or more to access porn on the internet.
Three decades.
Yeah, for a very long time.
Yeah.
And they're just now saying, okay, we maybe want to keep these kids off of these sites because, yikes. So again, they're going to do it in July. And the whole thing here comes down to the site has to have a highly effective, the law just says, instead of coming up with a law and how they're supposed to do it, the legislators just said, sites, you have to come up with a highly effective method to verify your users are above 18.
Oh, well, that's precise, isn't it?
Highly effective. So it's something, but come on, guys. That just doesn't seem like you've put much thought into it. It's nice that you're going to try to protect your kids. So as you saw in Florida, when Florida in July 1 banned, said you had to do kind of the same thing, a place like Pornhub just said, oh, we're not going to go and operate in Florida. And of course, VPN usage went up 1,000% because you just log in, say you're in a different state, and now you're online.
Right.
It's not, I mean, most 15-year-olds can figure that out. So again, that's not highly effective. Right. So clearly the Florida law is lacking. So we're going to talk to Tatiana Jordan about that at 10 o'clock to see what they think, because they've been protecting kids for a long time,
right,
from what's on the internet. And I got a feeling they have an idea.
Or two or three.
Some of the simple ones would be simply to require a credit card.
Yeah, so that would go a long way toward that.
Yeah, so you have to put in a credit card. Most kids don't have a credit card, not a debit card, but a credit card, because you typically have to be 18 if you're going to give a kid credit, no matter what bank you are.
Yep.
Although these ding dong bankers out there, you never know, they'll give credit to anybody. So we'll see what happens with that. We'll put the story up there and we'll see what happens. But it seems like it's a little late, you know, to be doing this. We should be doing it, of course.
Yeah.
But for crying out loud, you know, just now we're deciding? I mean,
yeah, where were you guys, you know, 20, 25 years ago looking at this? Yeah, you just wake up today.
Right.
We got to fix this.
All our laws we do for the children. You know, everything we do for the children, we do for the children. But no, let them watch porn. That's fine. You know, no problem there. You know, is that really an issue? Yes, it's an issue. Are you kidding me? So it's great that you guys woke up. We'll see what happens. Anything else you want to bring up there, Dennis?
Oh, yeah.
A United Healthcare one?
Yeah, United Healthcare.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had to, of course, disclose the breach of Change Healthcare. What was it? Change Healthcare.
Change, yeah.
Yeah.
They had to disclose
They had to post all kinds of information about how to deal with it and all of that.
Yes.
And, of course, their apology and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Well, they put that on the internet because they had to comply with laws to do it.
Yes. Maine wanted to know.
But, Maine knows all about it because then Maine knows everything.
Yes, they do.
At any rate, they actually embedded a hidden attribute inside their article on the web,
right,
called no index. And what that means is search engines would pick up the article when they go scraping the web for stuff.
Yes.
So that you and I can later search for it.
Right.
But the no index means, no, search engines, you're going to forget this article exists.
Right.
So if you or me go and search on, you know, Change Healthcare breach.
Data breach, yeah.
You're not going to find that article.
Not there, yes.
You're not going to find that one. You're going to find other ones, yes, of course, because it hit the news all over the place.
Right.
But you're not going to get United Healthcare's article about it.
So they
don't want you to know that they apologized for it and all this stuff.
It's kind of like
a
correction.
All of the things that they were supposed to do for you,
right,
if you're a victim, because apparently that's part of the disclosure.
Oh.
So that, by putting the no index tag in there, you're less likely to come across that information.
It's amazing.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is. Again, they're complying with the letter of the
law. They're complying with the letter of the law, but they're actually getting around fulfilling the law's actual mission.
Right. Kind of like when you have above the fold headline, so-and-so did this wrong. He's a bad person, and then they have to retract it if you're the news person because you got it wrong. And you find that at the back page behind the posting for dog catcher or something like that. Oh, we made a mistake. That person did nothing wrong. So, yeah, it looks like they're hiding the truth, right?
Yep.
No index.
Hidden in plain sight.
Not cool. Not cool, United Healthcare. We'll put that story up there as well. I mean, that's what they did with the H-1B visa things too, right? I mean,
yeah.
We can't seem to find any American workers. While you were putting the ads in these obscure papers, but they're following the letter of the law, but you weren't actually following the law. You didn't really want American workers.
Well, no, because they cost too much. Yeah. We don't want to hire Americans.
No, that's just crazy talk. That'll be an interesting discussion, actually, with the new administration. Elon is very pro H-1B visa, and we're not anti H-1B visa. We just wanted to be fair,
right?
Right? You know, we spend a lot of money educating our kids to become geeks, and if they can't even get, they can't even see the job because these companies only want to bring in the foreign folks under H-1B visas that they can pay a lot less for. I mean, that's awful.
Ugh.
But that's what's happening. So we'll step out for a quick break here. Frank, hang on. We'll get to your call. Three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. Three lines open for you. Carolyn is running the show. So we appreciate that. We're here to help you guys out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. If you want to talk about the whole whatever, you know, anything technical you want to talk about, we're happy to chat about them with you. But feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And let's go to Frank in Portland, who's got a question. What's happening, Frank?
Good morning.
Morning.
Have a question about Chromebook OS updating.
All righty.
I have two Chromebooks. One is 4 years old. It's a Pixelbook Go. And recently, let's say 6 months ago, I got a Acer Chromebook Plus Spin. And up until last November, their operating system updates were the same. They'd be on the same version. But the newer Chromebook hadn't gotten updates until yesterday, whereas the older one had gotten updates since then. It had maybe two in that time frame.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, does that indicate that there's an issue with the new Chromebook? It's maybe not as secure. It's not getting all the updates.
I think it has to do with the manufacturer.
Yeah, I would think so. And the manufacturer's cadence for, you know, releasing those updates.
Yeah.
They get them from Google, and then they have to roll them out to their products.
Right.
And the, how they do that is entirely up to them.
And the Pixel is a Google product.
Yeah, yes, it is.
So it'll be faster than
it'll be faster party. Than others, right?
Yeah, and the third party, the, you know, the Acer might be like, ah, let's wait a little bit, let's see what happens, which is not a bad move.
Well, yeah, there also might be a hang up maybe with some of the hardware that they include with it that might not work too well with the new version of the OS, so they have to adapt it.
Right,
and that takes time. So
okay,
yeah. But you're
okay. So in essence, since it's a different manufacturer, that could make the difference.
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
It's not just with Chromebooks either. The entire Android world has that issue because, you know, Google is releasing the new versions of Android, and of course they go out to the Pixels first.
Yay!
But and then, you know, and then it takes a little while for, you know, Samsung or LG or whoever else, or Motorola, to then grab that update and then get it out to their phones.
Yeah, so the Pixel users get to figure out what's good and bad first, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. I use it for strictly financial stuff, so that helps with my feeling more secure that there's not an issue with that new one.
No, and I appreciate you looking. That's checking it out, right?
Yeah.
It's always check, but, you know, like Reagan, trust but verify.
All right. Love your show. Listen to it all the time, and appreciate the information. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Our pleasure. All right. So, Frank's, that's awesome, right? Yeah. When you get to a point when you're like, wait a minute, this isn't kosher. This one's updated. Why isn't this one? We've definitely made an impact, I think. You guys are getting good. As Dennis always says, we want you to be geeks too. So that's great that you're doing that, because updating your systems are just as important as anything else, right? It's just as important as account hygiene. It's just as important as 2FA, because some of the biggest hacks that we've seen have come through systems that were not patched. And I'm trying to think of the company that was recently hacked where the guy's Plex server wasn't patched. And it was a major hack.
Right. It was his home machine.
That they entered to get to his work.
They used the exploit in his Flex software to get into his access to work.
Right, which was a big hack, and I'll go back and find it. But the idea here is that you have so many vulnerabilities, right? So now that was just a Plex server, which a Plex server was just basically a geeky way to house movies and material and audio. It was your own little cloud of movies and stuff, and he never patched it. And the bad guys got in, and they're like, ooh, this guy works here.
Oh, and Mike G said that was LastPass that got breached.
A LastPass, thank you.
That was LastPass.
So the password manager, that's like the third or fourth time they were breached in some way, were accessed that way. So updating your software, whether it be, well, for anything you have, your firewall software, believe it or not, I mean, your cameras, if you've got smart cameras or a smart doorbell and you're not updating that, that's an access to your home and your network. The more things, the more Internet of Things, the more stuff you put on your way in that's not patched, the bad guy's like, oh, all right, I'm here. I'm looking at Eric's cameras. That's great. Oh, who is this Eric guy? Oh, okay. Let's see if I can get into his house. That's how it works. And just too much of that going on. So vulnerability, patching and looking at these things is an important aspect of IT hygiene. Two-factor authentication. If you don't have 2FA running, I'm telling you right now, if you don't have 2FA, if you're a business or if you're a home user, you're playing with fire. I don't care if your people are going to whine about it. I don't care if the president of the company doesn't want it because he doesn't want to do it. You're crazy. 2FA has to be enabled these days, period, because A, you get phished, and then the bad guys ask you your password the same way I do, and your password happens to be ice cream. They're logging in.
Yep.
And that second factor is so important. And because you've used that same password of ice cream on three different sites.
Now they're into all that stuff.
They are. And they're like, geez, well, I found Dennis's password out here on the dark web. I wonder if he still uses ice cream. Oh, he does. Oh, and guess what? It's not 2FA, and I'm logging into whatever. Right? So please have 2FA running. Please patch your stuff. And of course, the last thing you've got to be doing, guys, if you're running in a business and you've given yourself admin level power as a user, you are literally playing with fire.
Yes, you are.
Don't do it. Stop giving yourself that power. Oh, we've had customers yell us, I'm the GD president of this company, whatever you want to say. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
You are fishable. You are trickable, right?
Right. What you want to do in cases like that is to have a separate account,
right,
with separate credentials and even separate 2FA on that.
Yes.
And that is the only way that you perform those admin functions.
Right.
This means that when you have that ability in your systems, you're going to know it because you just use that login.
Right. I'm going to go do admin functions. I'm going to log in as admin @. Put this crazy password in, do my 2FA, do my administrative work, add the users, remove the users, do whatever I'm going to do, log off.
Sign out at the end when you're done with that.
Yeah, right. And then Absolutely. Log in back as myself.
Right.
So I can't tell you how many companies we find that literally still do this. I was just at a prospect recently who had just asked for that power. I'm like, if you don't do anything, it may not go with me as a company for support, but if you don't do anything after this meeting, deprecate that level of access because you're just an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah.
So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Four lines open, 860-522-9842 is the number. And then coming up at 10 o'clock, Tatiana Jordan of Bark will talk about what she thinks porn sites should do. Or maybe she'll give you guys some clues there in the legislature as far as how to say, hey, if you're running a porn site, you must do this to keep people under 18 off this site. All right, we are back. We were just chatting with the great Joey Burgoyne.
Yeah.
He was here in studio, and he was railing about Windows 10. And he's right.
Yeah, and upgrading to Windows 11.
Yeah.
And he pointed out that there are a lot of systems that are going to report that they can't be upgraded.
Right.
And the tool, the PC health check, that Microsoft provides you to do that, to figure out whether you can upgrade, won't actually fix a particular issue.
That is easily fixable.
Because, and the reason it's fixable is because the feature that allows it is already built into Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. All that you need is for the PC Health Check app to, you know, execute the fix.
Right.
And granted, it is a fix that has a very tiny percentage chance of rendering your computer unbootable because you're affecting how it boots.
Yeah.
But it is an easy fix, and I've actually seen it, you know, myself, and I know that it works.
Right.
So, I mean, they could have PC Health Check stop and say, you know, we're changing your drive boot. Make sure your computer's backed up.
Yes, always. Any major change. I don't know.
And
Joey
then we'll
did
do
that.
We'll do the fix.
I did. He did. So, he backed it up. He's a smart. Yeah. He's one of the geekiest guys here.
Yeah.
So.
He's one of us.
Yes, he is. So he made a good point. I mean, again, it's why would Microsoft tell you your machine's not compatible, and then he had to go and do a little extra digging to find out? It sure as heck is. I wonder why. Maybe they want to help the NASDAQ. I don't know. Actually, are they even in the NASDAQ anymore? I don't even know anymore.
Aren't they? I think maybe probably are.
So let's go to your calls. Going to help you guys out with your issues. Let's go to Grace in Bloomfield first. What's going on, Grace?
Well, good morning.
Morning.
I think my question actually relates to what you were just talking about. I have an older 2-in-1 Dell PC, and I had actually called you about that years ago because it had been sitting, and I didn't know if I could still use it. But anyway, I only use it to stream movies from Amazon Prime, mm-hmm. but now I can't because it's 8.1.
Ah.
And I'm trying to figure out if I can upgrade it to Windows 10 or 11, or do I have to purchase the program? Or
8.1's pretty old, Grace.
Yeah.
They
stopped selling that, what, in 2015?
Yeah, it's old.
Yeah, so that computer has to be at least 10 years old, if not older.
Yeah, but like I said, I only use it for streaming movies and things. So I just wondered if it was even possible to skip, you know, version to go to 10 or 11.
We're going to predict probably not easily.
I would be thinking that there's probably some barriers in there.
And now when you stream it, what kind of monitor are you using? The built-in one?
It's an all-in-one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 2-in-1, and I was able to use it up until very recently.
Yep. Do you have a TV in your home though?
No.
You don't?
Nope.
Wow. Good
well,
for
I do,
you.
But, oh. Yeah, but I do, but I don't have cable or anything. It's so everything's disconnected. So.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well.
Since 2020, I think.
Okay. There's a way you can very simply get this working again. Chromecasts are out there by Google, and their latest generation is pretty cool. Not very expensive. And basically, you plug this Chromecast into this TV, and obviously you have internet, obviously. So you would connect it to your internet, and you have a little remote control, and you can have whatever apps you want to watch whatever you want. And it just hangs off the HDMI port of your TV, and you can give it power with either from your TV if it's powerful enough, or with a plug, and you've solved your issue without having to replace the computer. If all you're doing is streaming, this little Chromecast is really very, very nice, and they've really improved it.
Oh, the TVs are pretty old too, though.
That doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter at all.
That doesn't matter. Yeah. No, the age of that doesn't matter as long as it's got an HDMI port on it.
That's key.
You're golden.
And it probably does.
Oh, okay.
So that'll solve your issue a lot cheaper than buying a computer or even trying to upgrade your machine.
Oh, okay. If I was willing to purchase the Windows 10 or 11, would I be able to do it that way?
On that machine, we don't think it'll work.
I would think even if you can get it to run Windows 11, which is what you want it to have right now,
right?
How well would it work? I'm just thinking that it wouldn't be worth your time.
It won't work,
and you'll end up being frustrated because certain things won't function right.
Right,
it'll be sluggish and so on.
Oh, okay. So it's not just a matter of a simple upgrade.
No, have you heard? Have you been listening to the show ever? There's nothing simple about this stuff.
Right.
Yeah, so check out the Chromecast and go that route. If that's all you're doing with that computer, you're going to be much happier with this approach.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you.
All right, Grace, thank you.
Okay, take care. Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, upgrading an old Windows 8 computer is not really an option these days.
Yeah, especially when there are devices that are designed from the ground up to do exactly what she wants it to do.
Let's go to Mark in New Hartford next. What's happening, Mark?
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I was just kind of curious, can I, and if I can, how do I get rid of the AI on my iPhone? I mean, I don't. It's just more of an annoyance if you touch it by mistake and it goes off into this nonsense.
There is some settings. Are you running, is it the latest version of the iOS?
Yes, it is.
Okay. There are steps that we can post as far as how to do it. I'm not an Apple user, but I might even have the article. Hang on.
I just found one, and I'll bet Mike G's got one, too.
I'm going to go through my never nicotine-stained fingers of my stack of stuff. here we go. There's a way to do it. 18.2. This is all because it's also killing your battery on your phone. No, I did not print out the... Oh, wait a minute. Home lock screen. Under settings, the blade bright. No. Unfortunately, I did not print out the actual steps to do it, so I don't have it in here. But you already have a couple already, Dennis?
I found an article. I think it might have been the one that you had.
Okay, probably.
Oh, and Mike G's got another article. Let's take a look at that.
Yeah, so we'll put that link up there for you as far as how to follow the steps and turn
Thank
off that.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now, of course, when Apple updates, what do you think is going to happen?
I'll have to get rid of it again, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
They're going to hope they're going to slip it by you. They're going to be like, you know, you may not have liked it before, but it's much better now.
Yeah. You know, if I want to look something up, I'll look it up. I don't need, you know, artificial intelligence telling me, you know, you should look this or how do you, you know.
Right.
Really.
I agree. And then, of course, but the search engines, too, are still going to poke in there. So if you're on Google, you're always going to get that AI generated. I don't think there's a way around that.
No, there wouldn't be.
So that's still going to happen if you're using websites.
I got DuckDuckGo.
Oh, then you're going to be better. You'll be all better off. They may have an AI coming. Who knows?
They do have their own AI feature, gotcha. I believe. I believe that.
But we'll turn it off on your phone. It'll save your battery and go from there.
Thank you. I'll go to your website later on today, guys. Appreciate
Sounds good.
It.
You got it, Mark.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, it's funny. It's just funny. We just talk about Apple AI, you know, kills your battery. I mean, if Apple iPhones and batteries were not constantly brought up, it's just ridiculous. From throttling your battery to make it better, from all sorts of things with Apple and their devices. They talk about the design being so important. You should go with a company that both builds the hardware and the software. It's so much better, but it keeps having these types of issues.
Uh-huh.
You know? I that was a good vision by Mr. Job, but it didn't seem to come to fruition. You're making billions and billions and billions, so more power to you. Let's go to Bill in Southington. What's going on, Bill?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Listen, I have been getting my Microsoft Office 365 through Best Buy when I bought this my HP computer laptop there about 3.5 years ago. And Microsoft charges through Best Buy or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
They've been charging $69.95 a year, and they update your supposedly update the Office 365. I don't know if that's true that they update all of the functions, but you know you do continue to run it. And a fellow over at another store told me that I can, if I buy the system outright, the disc or whatever, or have it put on by Staples, for example. And buy my own and own it, have it, and it will go along for 3 or 4 years, and then I can buy a new one, and I'd be better off less expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You have an opinion.
I do. The cloud, renting the cloud is always more expensive than owning. So that's what the cloud is. You're renting other people's services, other people's servers. They can always increase that monthly charge. The cost you have now is what it is until Microsoft says, I want 45% more.
Right.
Oh, it's unbelievable. They jumped from $69.95 to $199.95 or something like that, and they're going to do it instantly. They don't even give you a choice. They just tell you.
I know.
The other thing is, he told me he's on an open system where I don't really understand the basics of that. I'm a pretty good
open office
electrical type guy, but what does open mean compared to running Microsoft operating system?
Well,
he's probably on Microsoft's operating system, but he probably loaded
Open Office. Open Office is an
alternative. He said he has an open platform.
We don't know what that means.
I don't know what he's referring to.
As an open system.
Yeah. Sounds like he's watching too many movies. No, I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
My laptop's open, too. I don't know what that means, so maybe there's a term we missed. In the...
You have to have Microsoft to run it. Is that it?
If you want to run Microsoft software like Word and Excel, you probably can make it work in Linux, I bet. But
I've tried that, and I was never able to get it to go.
Yeah, so
I've heard of people doing it, but
I learned the three office things, the Excel, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I used to learn 1, 2, 3 Lotus. That's how I learned it. Yeah. And it was wonderful, and it was simple, and you could fix everything. Yeah. Now they've loaded so many functions on there you can do. It's like an automobile. They've loaded with 1,000 chip functions that nobody's ever going to use. Does anybody complain about that? They're making it way too fancy?
No, they don't, because you wouldn't believe the Fortune 500 type companies that actually use Excel to manage millions and millions and billions of dollars in these massive spreadsheets with tables and all this crazy stuff. And you would not be surprised.
They use some of these things. Huh?
Yeah, they're using them, and you're going to be like, wow. You know, what you did with Lotus 1, 2, 3 was nothing compared to what these people do with Lotus now. And of course,
I listen almost every week. As soon as I get my breakfast sandwich, I pull in the parking lot and listen to you guys. Your show is great. Do you have your own company where you take care of computers if I have trouble?
Well, that's the Tab. Computer Talk with Tab is Tab Computer Systems. But we don't do it for end users, unfortunately. We only are designed for business users. We do this as a public service to you folks.
Well, it's a great public service, and I thank you for myself. I'll tell you that.
Well, it's our pleasure. We're glad you're listening.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Bill. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So, yes, when you rent the cloud, it's more expensive than owning. That's the whole idea of the cloud. There are some economies of scale that could work out for you.
And the numbers are actually kind of close, okay? The amount that you're going to save is, I don't know, it might be 20 or $30 for those, every 3 year purchases.
Right. But again, you can run Office for 7 years if you want, or 10 years if you just buy it outright. You're just doing a Word document.
Right. You still get the longevity from that. Right.
So we're going to step out for a quick break, get back to your calls. Jim and Jack, hold on. We'll be right back. It's a little snarky puppy. And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. But coming up at 10:05, Tatiana Jordan's going to join us. She's from BARC. We've had her on many times on the program talking about how we should protect our kids from the stuff that's on the internet. And they have a great company that does that. And we're going to get her opinion on what she thinks would be the best way, just so you legislators really have something technical to go on to try to keep kids off of porn sites. I know it's the year 2025 and it's just so hard. I mean, when I grew up, they put black plastic over the magazines. That worked, right? I mean, you couldn't see it. I mean, that was simple as that. Nowadays it's like the Wild Wild West. So we'll have her on and see how we can finally protect our kids from what's on the internet. Let's go to Jim in Florida next. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Two questions, and I'll shoot them all off.
All right.
What is your, based on your experience, what is the biggest reason a computer would be slow? And the second question is, I have this computer, it's, I don't know, maybe 7 years old, and there's really nothing on it, and it's so slow. Like, what the heck? I mean, I updated, got updates, I got fast Wi-Fi, but it's still loading pages really, really slow.
How old is it?
About 7 years old.
7 years. So The issue is the software keeps updating, getting more and more bloated, more and more features, more and more things. And the machine may have been underpowered to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, your idea of slow back 7 years ago might be different than it is nowadays. And the software, the browsers, I mean, Chrome browser is a monster. So
yeah, that probably has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Browsers have expanded. The code footprint for them has expanded massively over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
There's 2, 3, 4 times the code that's being run handling websites. And that's just web browsing.
Yeah.
It's not any other kind of software you might be using.
DuckDuckGo is not going to necessarily change
you. That won't help you. That won't help you because it's the thing that gets you there that's getting bogged down. It's not the site that you're going to.
The other thing, too, is, the technology 7 years ago, you know, if you do want to extend the life of a 7-year-old computer, which I don't necessarily recommend, but you could consider a solid-state hard drive, you're probably running on a 5200 RPM spinny drive, we call them. And you probably have, RAM might be 8 gigs of RAM or less. So you probably need to give your computer a little boost there. But I don't know that I would tell you to spend the money on doing that. I would tell you to get a current system. And you should see improvements. 7 years is a long time. It really is. And in computer years, you know, think of dog years. 7 years in computer years is probably, you know, like driving around in a 15-year-old car. It's
okay. So if I just took a computer, I bought a brand new computer, set it all up.
Yeah.
Stuck it in a closet for 7 years, and I took it out, started it up, did all the backups.
Same problem.
You're gonna have a similar problem.
Yeah, because all the technology moved forward. All of it assumes you've upgraded. All of it is designed. It's not built for the slowest computer. It's built for the fastest computer.
That's another thing that people don't understand.
Yeah.
When the people at Google are developing Chrome, they're developing it on high speed systems that work well for them. They're not developing it on an i3 with 4 gigs.
Right.
Okay. They don't really care about those people.
No.
They only care about.
I think mine is an i5 or i6.
Well, I'm just using an example to kind of make a point. An i5 should be good.
Yeah.
The i5 is kind of the standard workstation these days.
But the generation you're running that's a 7-year-old i5, Jen, it could be a 4th gen or a 5th gen. We're up to 14th gen.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. The processors themselves have evolved a lot.
So that's the issue. Right. You know, again, it's not like a car. You could leave a car sitting for 7 years and hope, you know, then put some oil in it, put some gas in it, and it runs just as good. Computers have to pay attention to all the software that's being thrown at it. So that's the reason.
So basically, you're telling me just buy a new computer.
I am. That's what we're saying. Yeah, to buy a new machine.
That's a better use of your money. That's what it comes down to.
All right, thank you.
You got it, Jim. Thank you.
All right,
bye-bye. 7 years old. I mean, we have these same discussions with our business clients, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And once in a while, you know, they'll say, no, I really got to upgrade this one. I can't get a new one.
Right.
And, you know, okay, well, you go with it because somebody needs it and they need it soon.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just rather have people, you know, not sending good money after bad.
Exactly.
And yeah.
Exactly. Let's go to Jack in Glastonbury. Oh wait, yeah, I think he's next. Yep, Jack, you're waiting the longest. What's up?
Hey, yeah, I'm a user where in the past I've either been on somebody else's platform as a user, or on my own platform as admin. So I don't know. I've never done something where I've had to create a user myself. And I wanted to, because of what you said with the security, I wanted to demote my admin. So I want to create another account on my computer, but I don't want to shoot myself in the foot because I've been running for years as an admin and I've got all my files and everything. You know,
all right.
What's your advice?
Well, my advice should have been more clear, clearly. So when it comes to your home machine, it's a little different than a business. So I should have been more clear in that when you have the power of admin on your own local computer, it's a little less of a issue, right? You're going to only impact you.
Right.
All right. So my advice really was focused on businesses, so I should have been more clear there. Because
and we're talking about what are called domain admin accounts,
right,
where you can affect your entire network,
right,
you know, badly if something right goes awry.
So you're fine. I would tell you while you're thinking, though, of this, go ahead and change, you know, make sure your password is complicated.
Right, yeah.
But again, you're really just protecting your machine from local access. So it's not that big a deal here for your individual system. So I apologize for getting you concerned about something in that case. It's my fault.
Yeah, I figured it maybe because you're on the internet that somebody can get in to your home machine and say, oh, he's admin, I can do all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And so to protect yourself, if you're logged in as user rather than admin on your home machine, you're protected.
Well, the key words there are somebody gets into your computer.
Right.
That's the
right
first step. On a home network, the chances of a hacker actually getting into your computer from outside are very small. And
okay,
most of the time, you are going to be the one that
inviting
would open
him
that door.
Right.
Because
right
you would get a call from somebody saying, you know, your computer's
it's
been compromised and we need to help you.
Right,
so go
yeah
to this website and get me in. Well, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's opening the door.
Admin
but
or not,
as long
matter
as you never do that for anybody, there would be no way for anybody to get access to that computer.
Right.
Okay.
So thank you for being concerned, and I apologize for raising your concern level there. It's my fault.
All right. Well, thanks for the input.
You got it, Jack. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yes, domain admins. Do not make yourself a domain admin with your login credentials. Just
yeah
keep that separate. I can't tell you that enough if you're running any kind of business, because if you have the power of God on your machine and they get in as you, they can do a lot of damage. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and Tatiana Jordan from BARC will be on next with us at 10:05 talking about keeping your kids safe on the internet. We'll be right back.